I heard an old story.
Thank you for tuning in to the television ministry of Clay's Mill Baptist Church. Join us as we share our passion for soul winning, spiritual growth, and revival in our state and nation. And now, Pastor Jeff Fugit.
Well, good evening and welcome to the program tonight. I trust that you've had a wonderful day. It's certainly been an interesting week. Wasn't it a surprise on Thursday morning to see the snow on the ground? I preached up in Bourbonnais, Illinois on Tuesday, and my wife went with me, and we came back after I preached Tuesday morning at 11 and then in the afternoon, and we drove back Tuesday night. We drove through snow most of the way down till we got about to the Kentucky line, and then woke up on Wednesday morning with snow on the ground. April 21st, I told God, I don't think this is funny, but anyway, here we are. What a joy it is to serve the Lord and be a child of the King, knowing that God is in control of all things. I want to make a few announcements and tell you what's going on at church, and I want to move quickly, and I know these announcements may not mean a lot to everyone, but they mean a little bit to different folks around the country. This past week, I saw friends that watch our television program, both in Chicago and in the Mesquite, Texas area, and I appreciate that, and so I announce where I'm preaching. This coming Monday and Tuesday night, I will be in Clinton, Illinois at the First Baptist Church, Clinton, Illinois, First Baptist Church. On Monday morning, that would be April 26th, I'll be on the Jack Patty Show at 9 a.m. Why don't you tune in? I think it is 97.3 FM or 590 AM, and that FM signal is pretty strong. We're going to talk about my 30 years here as the pastor at Clay's Mill Baptist Church. And then on Thursday and Friday, April 29 and 30, I'll be at the Grace Baptist Church down in Lebanon, Kentucky. I preached there many times. I'm looking forward to seeing all my friends there. I haven't been there in a couple of years, maybe 3 years, and I look forward to seeing you. Why don't you invite family and friends and neighbors to come and be a part of that revival meeting on Thursday and Friday. And then on Monday and Tuesday, May 3rd and 4th, I'll be at the Wild Peach Baptist Church in Brazoria, Texas, and that's not far from Houston, and be with Brother Jake Tucker. Then on May 10 and 11, I'll be at the Landmark Baptist Church in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania. This is a great church. I love the pastor and the people there. I look forward to seeing many friends there. I want to encourage you to invite folks to come for that meeting. Brother Dallas will be preaching with me those 2 weeks. And then May 17 and 18, I look forward to being at the Gospel Light Baptist Church in Hazard. I love this church. Of course, I love my brother Chris, and I look forward to being there. My family is going to be with me. Most of them on Monday and Tuesday, they'll be singing. You will enjoy the time. I hope that you can come. Go ahead and put it on Facebook now and let folks know that you're going, and invite others to come. And I look forward to being with you May 17 and 18. May 24th and 25th, I'll be in Frederick, Maryland at the Frederick Baptist Church with Pastor John C. Tremendous church, a church that not only is growing, but that has bought new property and building a new church building. I talked to him just this week, and it's exciting to hear all of the good reports of things going on there in Frederick, Maryland. Tomorrow here at our church is Friend Day. I want to invite you not only to come, but bring a friend with you. We've been blessed with many visitors attending church, and I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for folks that are inviting friends and family and co-workers to come. Why don't you come and join us tomorrow? And then on May 2nd, I will celebrate my 30th anniversary as the pastor here at Clay's Mill Baptist Church. My wife and I, along with our family, wish to say thank you to each and every person that's been a part of our lives and ministry these 30 years. Come and celebrate with us on this special day, May the 2nd. In the evening, church is at 6, but we're going to start an old-fashioned gospel sing at 5 p.m. You will enjoy the good gospel singing that will begin at 5 o'clock. Service will begin at 6. You can come early if you want. You don't have to. Church begins at 6. At 7 o'clock, we're going to go out, be under a big tent, and have a fried chicken dinner together. I'd love to have you come and be a part of that celebration. Morning services begin at 10:30. Evening services begin at 6 o'clock. I sure am thankful for the goodness of God. I appreciate you watching the program. Thank you for the many notes and messages and emails I've received this week. Friends all over the country and many, many folks I've prayed for today. I've prayed for this week. And I thank you for your faithful support of watching the program. Here's my family to sing, and then I'll bring you the message this evening.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you.
If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do?
The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do?
The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do?
The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
I'm preaching tonight from 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, as well as Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to give you a bit of what I've been preaching and teaching in our Bible study on Wednesday night on Bible prophecy, talking about the days of Christ's return. I will tell you tonight that I am very concerned as I look not just at our nation. I think all of us who are God-fearing, nation, America-loving patriots, we're concerned for our nation. But more than that, much more than that, I'm concerned for the condition of our churches and Christians in these last days. As I read the Word of God and what God describes will be taking place during the days of Christ's return, I see so many things going on, and I'm not talking about the perversion of the world, and I will mention that in a little bit, but I'm talking about a falling away or a lack of concern of God's people for spiritual things. I'm talking about folks who talk about being born again or talk about having a faith in God, and yet all of their conversation is not only about self or the things of the world, even sinful things that the Bible speaks about. You know, the Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached what was right. We live in a day, friend, that we are far from that as far as being a staple in our churches across America. I want to read tonight some verses from 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, and then in a few minutes from Romans chapter 1. I want to point out some things that we're facing in these days of the return of Christ. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in his second letter, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, let me talk about some of those words. First of all, he said, "That day shall not come." That day is talking about the return of Christ. There are four basic events that take place as we go through this passage of Scripture. First of all, there is the obvious falling away. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Then there is the rapture of the church. I taught that in the lesson last week on Wednesday night. If you want to watch that on my Facebook page, I talked about the rapture of the church as well as this past week on Sunday morning in the Sunday school hour. Now, the rapture and the second coming of Christ is two different events. Christ comes to the air. We have the sound of the archangel, the sounding of the trumpet. The dead in Christ and the saved, they leave the earth and they are with Christ in the air. The next event to take place on the earth is the seven-year tribulation period. All of this brought about in workings by and through the Antichrist, the representation of Satan himself on the earth. Now, I gave this detail in the service Wednesday night. You may want to watch that. But then, so we have the tribulation period. Then we have the return of Christ. The return of Christ is after the seven-year tribulation period when he comes with a total and complete judgment against Satan and against sin, and Satan is cast into hell for all eternity. Now, Paul said that day, the return of Christ, is not going to take place until first there is a falling away. Now, that's where we are in this day, April 2021. The Bible says in verse number 4, as he describes the son of perdition, the word perdition means hell, so the son of hell or the son of the devil, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the Antichrist, he sits down on the throne. He sits down in the temple in Jerusalem that by that time has been rebuilt. The Bible says in verse number 5, "Remember ye not, when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth." Why is it not happening now? He said, "You know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way." Now, this is a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in the believer. The believer is the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon man and then would be gone. The Holy Spirit would come upon man as he did Samson, as he did Saul, as he did so many in the Old Testament. But when you come to the New Testament, the Bible says when Jesus ascended back to heaven as a result of the promise he gave in John chapter 14, the Holy Spirit came as recorded in Acts chapter 1, and the Bible says that he now indwells the believer. That is the New Testament Christian. The Holy Spirit lives within us. So when the rapture takes place, the Christian is going to be taken away, which is the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the restraining power of the devil. It's obvious right now that you can call them liberals, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but the working of iniquity, the mystery of iniquity is working in our nation to bring destruction. And it's obvious that there is a restraining power. Now, the Bible says that restraining power is the Holy Spirit of God. But when he's taken out of the way, then the devil can move forward with his program. Verse number 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Now, wicked is capitalized because it is the person of Satan, or it is the Antichrist. The Bible says, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. I taught about that this past Wednesday night. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, we could talk for a while about that, the deceivableness of unrighteousness. We live in a day today where laws that have been in place in our nation, in our state, for hundreds of years, since the inception of our states, laws that would control alcohol or abolish, laws that would prevent gambling or the wealthy preying on the poor. We're now doing away with all of that. We've been having folks stand up, and here's how they began. They said, I'm a Christian, but I don't see anything wrong with this. Now, for more than 200 years, our Constitution and our lawmakers saw something wrong with it, but all of a sudden now Christians supposed are standing up saying, I don't see anything wrong with this. Now, we find a falling away that's taking place. Now, I want to go to the book of Romans in chapter 1, and of course my time is limited here on Saturday night, but I'm concerned. I'm concerned that Christians are losing their desire to know God, to love God, and to serve God. And when Christians don't love God and serve God, we're not witnessing to the lost, and the lost is not being brought to Christ. If we're not witnessing to the lost, and the lost being saved so that the Holy Spirit moves within them, we're not increasing the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is decreasing in our nation. I want to tell you right now, it's not conservatives that's holding back the work of the mystery of iniquity. No, sir, it isn't. It's the Holy Spirit inside the believer. It is the Holy Spirit in the church. Now, in Romans chapter 1, the Bible describes what happens as what happened in the days of Noah, the days of Lot, and what happens in the last days. The Bible says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Interesting statement, to hold the truth in unrighteousness. We live in a day where evil is called good and good is called evil. They wanted to impeach a president when he told people to stand for the Constitution and stand for right. And then we have a sitting president that is making comments to a jury that is a sitting jury that is trying a law enforcement officer. Now, I'm not saying whether he was guilty or not guilty. And, of course, they said he was guilty. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about this spirit against law or a desire for lawlessness, calling rioters that have destroyed billions of dollars in property, calling them patriots, and then calling those that say stand for the Constitution, calling them names such as rioters and turncoats as far as the nation is concerned, calling good evil and evil good. Now listen to this description. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Folks, we live in that day. Folks who claim to be wise, they're telling us that they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different genders, telling us things that we know are not true, telling us things like man evolved from lower animal life rather than God creating, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Then the Bible says this, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. Notice this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Then listen to this. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, constant arguing, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections. Notice this word, implacable. You know what the word implacable means? It means cannot be pleased. No matter what, cannot be pleased. Unmerciful. Folks, if what we're seeing, the rioting, the destruction of our cities, hatred of law, despisers of those that are good, working to destroy all limitations and boundaries. If we're not seeing that, then I'm confused. But I believe what we're looking at right now is exactly what the Bible is describing in Romans 1 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's easy for us as Christians to point to the world and say, look at their wickedness. But my concern is not just the wickedness of sinful men. We're not surprised by that. I'm concerned by the lack of righteousness in our churches and of folks who call themselves Christians. We live in a day where there's nothing called sin. We've justified every behavior. A person will talk about their faith in God and proudly display the booze that's destroying lives every day. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And friend, I want to tell you something. Jesus is coming soon. I do not want there to be any falling away in my life as far as my walk with God, in your life, in your walk with God. If there was ever a day to serve God, the day is today. You say, preacher, do you looking at the landscape, do you see any hope at all? I do. And here's where I see it. I see it in revival in the church. And that's the only place I see it. The only way this nation could ever change its course of direction is if the church was so ignited and so strong and grew in such a way that we demanded of our leaders, we demanded of our representatives, that they live according to the righteousness of this book. That's the only hope we have in America. Do you understand that the conservative position today compared to the conservative position 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, is in a constant state of change? And what they stood against, they now allow. And they find something that they can maybe champion a cause while all the while allowing things that's bringing destruction to the people of our societies, of our cities, of our nation. Dear friend, I want to tell you, if there was ever a time for you and I as Christians to walk with God and to serve God, today is the day. I'm not concerned as much about the nation, though that is concerning, as I am about the church and the Christian. Too tired to serve God. Too busy to give time for God. And all the while losing our people and our nation. We need to see revival in the church. Thank you for watching the program this evening.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart there's rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. For there's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Well, I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. For there's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings.